The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi there, everybody. On this first Sunday of Advent, Pastor Rick Ashe, our pastor for intergenerational discipleship, preached a sermon that he called Time, Hope, and Clothing. His task was to survey the season of light, the season of Advent, and contemplated how time and hope can be partners or enemies in our lives. Here's Dr. Rick Ashe in a sermon titled Time, Hope, and Clothing. The Lord be with you.
I want to talk about a couple of different words. You've already heard a couple of them this morning so far. I want to talk about time, and I want to talk about hope. Okay, you've actually already seen a little bit of those. I want to talk about clothing. We're going to deep dive into clothing, and then the other thing we're going to do, which you've already heard, the other word is light. Okay, so I came prepared. So you guys ready for this? Not messing around this morning. Let me see if I can get this thing fixed up. There it is. Ta-da, there we go. All right. Here, I'll turn this way. There you go. Okay. So we're literally going to talk about clothing and light, and there's no other Sunday of the year that I could, you know. So I'm going to own it. All right. No, she did not. No, she did not. But before we get there, I'm really excited for what we're going to talk about this morning. Before we get there, kids, if you want to go back, if there's any kids that want to go back to the table and make an ornament this morning, you are totally welcome to do that. Also, there are some little white pieces of paper you probably sat on, and you're like, what the heck is this? If you would like to do some fill-in-the-blank this morning, I thought, hey, let's try something. It's the new year. Let's do something. If you're a fill-in-the-blank person and you want to, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about Advent, what it is, and where it came from, kind of a deal. If you're not a fill-in-the-blank person, you can hand that off to somebody around you. If you didn't get one of these and you want to raise your hand, Richard has a couple extra ones, and he would be willing to help you out there. So anybody? Okay, perfect. So if you're a fill-in-the-blank person, you want to do this, excellent. So here we go. This morning, we are going to be talking about time and hope, and we're going to be talking about clothing and light. I want you to listen to this. This is from Matthew 24. Don't worry about turning there yet. We're going to get started. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had not known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house been broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Let's pray together. God of justice and peace, from the heavens you rain down mercy and kindness, that all on earth may stand in awe and wonder before your marvelous deeds. Raise our heads in expectation, that we may hope for the coming day of the Lord and stand without blame before your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you guys about time versus hope. Because the fact of the matter is that we live in a world that is very confused about time. I don't know if you guys went out and did the Black Friday thing. I always tell people that the reason they call it Black Friday is because it exposes the color of people's souls on that day. Because it's like Walmart's more like a destruction derby than actually like getting a gift for, you know, someone that you care about. It's just, you know, punching and throwing hooks and stuff at people. But, you know, it's really funny because there's always been that weird thing, like, because immediately after Thanksgiving, everybody's like, Merry Christmas, you know, and you're checking out, and they're Merry, or they say Happy Holidays, and then there's that big scandal of, like, well, if somebody tells you Happy Holidays, then you have to immediately fire back Merry Christmas, you know, because it's Merry Christmas, it's not Happy Holidays. Well, but, you know, be kind to your Jewish friends, you know, I mean, they have a holiday here too, so it's okay to say that, right? But time is a weird thing. I mean, we started Christmas this year, like, back in July, I think. I mean, as stuff was rolling out on the shelves already, we just kind of have a really warped sense of what this means, and especially for us here as a church family and a lot of Christians around the world. Excuse me, got a fuzzy in my nose. This Advent thing kind of interrupts the cycle of this common culture, like it's Thanksgiving, get the lights up, go get your, you know, go out on that first Friday and get all your presents going and all this stuff. But this Advent thing kind of, and it forces us to have to like stutter step for just a second, or maybe more than a second. But I wanted to share something with you, because time is confusing, I think, to a lot of people. So here's a couple of, here's some bands. If you guys have ever heard of the band Hootie and the Blowfish, here's what one of the songs, one of their most famous songs, here are the lyrics that I grabbed. It says, "Time, why are you punishing me? Like a wave bashing into the shore, you wash away my dreams. Time, why do you walk away? Like a friend with somewhere to go, you left me crying, and I don't believe in time." Okay, that's a really pessimistic way to look at it, but this is how a lot of us think about time. A lot of us look at time, and as a matter of fact, this next one, the Steve Miller Band. Anybody heard of the Steve Miller Band? What time keeps on what?
Slipping
into the future, right? Cher was another one that I, like, you know, if we could only turn back time. Now, the problem is we can't, right? And time is the most precious resource that we have of all the resources that God has provided to us. Time is the one most precious, most valuable, because once it has transitioned from 1 second behind you, it's gone, and you don't get it anymore. You only have that opportunity in front of you. And so that can cause for us a lot of anxiety. Time can be a real problem, or time can be a real blessing. That's a lot of what we want to talk about, and I think the direction and the purposefulness of Advent is about reclaiming our adversary time and turning it into a blessing for ourselves as individuals and as a church community. So if you have those little fill-in-the-blanks there, we're going to do a quick walkthrough, and some of this may be familiar to you guys. We're going to do a quick walkthrough of what is Advent, kind of what is the purpose behind it. And if not for you, if you know all this, yep, I know all this, then you can communicate this to other people. Because one of the things I purpose to do, like for the next weeks of Sundays, is I'm going to try, when people say Merry Christmas, I'm going to try as best I can to respond back with Advent blessings. I'm going to try to respond back like with emails and communications like Advent blessings. I'm just going to initiate that and see if I can get somebody to nibble maybe and share a little bit of, like, we're countercultural, let's be honest, right? We are not prideful or arrogant about that, but the fact of the matter is that choosing to do what we're going to do for the next 4 Sundays is diametrically opposed, right, to the common culture around us. So let's equip ourselves to give a reasonable answer. So in your fill-in-the-blank there, this season is called the season of light, okay? Advent, Christmastide, and then Epiphany. And in the same way that around Easter, we've got what happens right before Easter, the season of what? Lent, and then Easter, and then what happens after that? Pentecost, right. That's the season of life, and this is commonly known as the season of light, okay? And the focus of the season of light is the incarnation of God into, and you can fill in the blank, our history. This is what the Nicene Creed has to say. This was 325 AD. It says, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. This idea of light is very important to this season for us. And we're going to unpack that over the next couple of weeks. So there's three parts to Advent. There's three parts to this season. There's Advent, there's Christmastide, which is that 12 days of Christmas thing that we sing about that nobody really understands, but it's actually a 12-day festival. We celebrate for 12 days a Christmas, and then after that comes Epiphany. So in Advent, here's the fill-in-the-blank word. Advent, maybe the theme could be wait, right? Come thou long-expected, we're waiting, right? O come Emmanuel, we're waiting, we're hoping, right? in the second coming of Christ. That's the other interesting thing about Advent. We kick off our Christian year not focused on the birth of Jesus, like all of the, like literally like probably midnight on like the transition from Thursday to Friday, I think probably midnight, it was like one song and then all of a sudden it's a Christmas song, right? And it just kicks off and we're all Christmas songs. No, it's like, hold on a second. We're talking actually about the coming of Christ. We're anticipating his future return. So then Christmas, if Advent's about waiting, Christmas is about rejoicing because Christ is born. And we celebrate that. So that word you could write in there is rejoice. And then Epiphany, I put the word manifest. And then I kind of wrote, the world must be told. The world must be told. This is when the three wise men actually show up. Is during the Epiphany time. Like our nativities are, we compress time in our nativities, but if you actually read through and understand, people were coming and going during this time, and the wise men actually came much, much later. And there's this idea during that time of this communicating out, this manifesting of the reality of Jesus. And so, like we've talked, Advent has four different weeks, and each week has a theme. And so this one today is hope, and then next week we'll look at love. And then joy is the pink one, and that's Chris's favorite because he gets the, what is that thing called?
Gaudete.
No, the drum.
Oh, the bow drum.
Bow drum? It's a bow drum, and it's Irish? Mm-hmm. Irish. Yeah. Hope, love, joy, and then peace. So those are the four Sundays and the themes that we focus on. Hope, love, joy, and peace. Here's what Augustine had to say about all this. The first coming of Christ, our Lord, God's Son, and our God, was in obscurity. The second will be in the sight of the whole world. When he came in obscurity, no one recognized him but his own. When he comes openly, he will be known by both good people and bad. When he came in obscurity, it was to be judged. When he comes openly, it will be to judge. So we're kind of hanging in this time right now. This season it bends time. We look backwards and we remember the birth of Christ. We look forwards and we anticipate his return. And then right here and right now, there's this reality that we're living out the presence of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's really cool. And I just said that. There's three Advents, actually. And we use those big technical terms, right? Anamnesis, the birth of Christ. Epiclesis, our name, the presence, the new unfolding presence of Christ here and now with us. And then this other word, prolepsis, the future return. So there's these kind of theological terms that get built around this, but we're literally looking forwards and backwards, and we're right here living it out in this moment, in this time together. So there's an Advent question that I'd like you guys to consider. And you journal, maybe this is worth some journal entries, or put it on your mirror. Think about in the mornings or whenever it would be reasonable. Advent question, how do I need God to break in on me now? Because this is all about this, when the angels saying, with the shepherds, right? They like burst on the scene, glory in the highest, and the shepherds are like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Right, and they completely freaked out, right? There's everything is about this breaking forth, this breaking in, that Jesus is breaking into our history and new and fresh ways. And so that's my question for you and the question I'm asking myself during this Advent season as part of my discipline, my devotion, is this idea of how do I need God to break in on me now? And then how do I pray that direction? How do I live that direction? Leo the Great, in the 4th century, he said, Christ became the Son of Man so we could become children of God. Had he not so lowered himself as to come down to us, none of us could ever have gone to him by any merits of our own. So even during this season, and even during Advent, there's also these almost Easter themes that you're going to hear. There's a foreshadowing, an anticipation of exactly why he came. And exactly why he went through the things that he did. So you have to keep your ear open for that because there's little breadcrumbs, if you will, that are leading us through this season of light into the season of life as well. So listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, we preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Right? Think Moses, right? The glory of God shining, right? We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. See, that's the beauty of this season, is that it reminds us it's not about us. It's not about me. And so that can be humbling. That can also be lifting. That can give you hope. Because let's be honest, a lot of us have a lot of pressure. I don't know if you're like the present pressure family where you have to have the right perfect gift and there's all that anxiety and are they going to like it and all this stuff. But Advent speaks to us hope. Advent speaks to us a sense of calming down, of slowing down the process, of not just rushing into a one-day event and then, you know, get it all shut down and packed up and in the garage, but let's take some time here to process through this idea of what exactly Jesus did, is doing, and has promised to do. Robert Weber said this. He's talking about this idea of Jesus coming, the mystery of the unfathomable condescension. There we go. I was going to say condensation, but that's wrong. That's what happens in your car when you get up in the morning. The mystery of the unfathomable condescension, this idea that Jesus lowered himself here to earth, and that it for us, it's just beyond our understanding that the God of the universe would do that. Scripture speaks to that so much. Basil the Great, he says this, now it is no longer dust you are and to dust you shall return, but you are joined to heaven, and into heaven you shall be taken up. That's hope. That's our hope. That's the transition that Jesus provided for us, that we don't have to look at time as our enemy, that we're ultimately just going to get to this end point and then that's the end of it. But the fact of the matter is that he's redeeming every moment of our lives, and not only that, but all eternity after that as well, that we look forward to our future and then the future beyond. Isn't that amazing? That's what this whole thing is about. God stooped low so that we could be lifted high. That's what Advent, this whole season is really, the season of light is really about. So listen to this. This is Romans chapter 13. It says, And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. There's that hope again. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness and immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your flesh. As I was preparing for this morning, this idea of clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ really jumped out at me. And for the remainder of our teaching time, I actually want to do a theology of clothing. Is that okay? Is that weird? Because I thought it was, and I'm like praying about it. And I'm, you know what? Yeah, let's do this. Because I want you to catch this. It says to put on the armor of light. This is the theme of this season. And then the next verse says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. This is amazing. This whole idea of clothing and the importance of this word in Scripture, because you're probably not going to ever read it the same way again. So here we go. The first time that this word clothe or clothing shows up in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. It's when God made Adam and Eve the clothing. And how did that clothing come about? Yes. The first time we learned about clothing, a sacrifice had to be made in order for that covering, in order for that stigma of the nakedness of Adam and Eve, the realization of the sin and all the brokenness, and God intervenes into that. And a sacrifice had to be made in order to provide for humanity, in order for humanity to begin to move forward. Nehemiah 9:21, it says this, "For 40 years you," speaking to God, "sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothing did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen." So what you're going to see in Scripture is there's both a physical reality of clothing, but there's also a spiritual reality of clothing. Okay, you need to catch this. And I kind of picked up on this thing that, yeah, it's true. Like, God actually supernaturally somehow their clothes didn't tear and fall apart. I mean, after 40 years, I don't know, you ever, like a 40-year-old shirt, whoa, like this, we need to get rid of this right away. But God provided physically for them in the same way that he sustained them through that tabernacle, right? And the being with him all the way through those 40 years. Here's what's interesting in the Psalms. The Psalms compares and contrasts. There's two different kinds of clothing. There's the clothing of shame and disgrace versus the clothing of righteousness, salvation, and joy. The Psalms specifically reference the Messiah and the priests as clothing themselves, the priests specifically, that God clothes them in righteousness, salvation, and joy. And you hear that theme, but it talks also about the idea that the wicked are clothed in shame and disgrace. Okay? You guys catching this? Now watch this. You ready for this? Mark chapter 5. Maybe jot this down, go back and look at it. Mark chapter 5, the back end, 27, 29, but you can read the whole thing. For the sake of time, I'm just going to grab this one little portion. You know where I'm going. This is about the lady who had the physical problem, right? And she's following along as Jesus and the disciples are moving. And he said, "When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.'" You have probably been taught some sort of like mystical kung fu-y, like she reached out, and, you know, I'm not sure. I don't want to make light of that. But that's at least how I, it's just like, yeah, she reached out. It was like kind of like a by faith and she kind of grabbed him thing. But here's the problem. If you understand Scripture like she did, if you understand the Psalms like she did, then there's a sense of theology behind this idea of reaching out, and if I just grab the clothing of the Messiah, this the clothing of the one who does miracles and healings, my Scriptures tell me that God's the one that made that sacrifice to clothe and to heal, at least temporarily, in Genesis, all the way through. And in the Psalms, I think what she's reaching for is this righteousness and this salvation and this joy. See, I think she sees this is not me just grabbing onto physical clothing. This is me reaching for the theology, the spiritual reality of what God has been doing through the story of the Hebrews. Does that make sense? It's interesting. Galatians chapter 3 says this, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." That your baptism is literally the putting on of Jesus. Colossians 3:12. You might want to write this one down. Go back and look at it later. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with the compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Here's the hope. You're chosen because of Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, because of Jesus Christ, you are holy and you are dearly loved. You are dearly loved by the Father. And so the instructions here are clothe yourself, put onto yourself compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Maybe one of those is your Advent goal. Let's be honest, it's a crazy time of the year, right? Weather's crazy, people are driving crazy, everybody's crazy in the stores, gotta get, materialism, all this stuff. Maybe for you, you need to have, like me, I need to have compassion on some people that, look, this, I was thinking about this. I need to have compassion on the slave and stand opposed to the slave master, right? Because people are slaves to this world and to the rulers and authorities and the principalities, and they don't know any better. Okay, that's where perhaps saying Advent blessings, that's where doing something during this Advent season for someone could break through the light, the reality of Christ manifesting into our history. That's what they need, right? And so for me personally, I need to be a lot more compassionate because I can be really judgmental about people in line and the screaming and the fighting and all that. Just like, good grief, people, give it up, right? I need to be way more compassionate myself. Maybe for you it's kindness, or maybe it's humility or gentleness. I think a lot of us it's patience, especially when we're driving home in the rain today, right? I don't know, maybe pick one of those. Think about that. Ask the Lord, which one do you want me to work on? Here's the interesting thing. Advent is a lot like Lent. In the ancient church, they treated Advent a lot like Lent, and that's why we have Gaudete Sunday, because it was fasting and preparation for 2 days, and then celebration, and then fasting again, and then they celebrated. So they did a lot more intense Advent than we do. It was a lot more like Lent is the way that we do it. So consider this. Consider doing something as a spiritual discipline. Be keenly aware, because you know as well as I do that people are running around like chickens with their head cut off, just trying to get through the day. You could be the person that speaks hope into their life. The Holy Spirit could give you the words or the action to bless someone during this crazy season for most people, because they don't realize it. They don't get it. They're blind. So we start at the beginning of the Bible. Let's finish with the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 16 says this, "Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed." Isn't that interesting? Blessed is the one. Jesus is saying, just like we've already said, just like he told us, right, in the Gospels, he tells that story about the thief coming in the night, and if the people had stayed awake, then they would have got broken into. It's really weird that the Messiah gives this example of himself, but I guess I kind of get it. But now in Revelation, at the end, he's saying, look, I'm going to come. I'm going to return. And blessed is the one who stays awake, alert, attentive, spiritually alive and focused on him and not the chaos of the world around us. Yes, we wade out into the middle of that. But no, we don't let that change us. We don't let that manipulate us. We speak into that. We live into that. We bring light into that darkness. It says this, blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed in what? In Christ, in all of these attributes, the righteousness, the salvation, the joy, the patience, the humbleness, the gentleness, the compassion. That's what we're being called to. So it's Advent, it's the new year, and we get to start here and now. And maybe last year, you know, maybe it was tough. Maybe there are things that the Holy Spirit's bringing to your mind. I need to make some changes. You don't have to wait till the Roman calendar New Year's Eve thing and make some New Year's resolutions. You could do that right now as we begin the process of preparing ourselves to greet the long-expected Jesus, to celebrate the birth of our Savior. You could start and make Advent more than just a little book with some candies, more than just a couple of candles. It could transform you. And that's what I'm hoping for me and my family, and that's what I'm hoping for you guys as well. So let's pray together. God of light and hope, you herald the coming of the Son of Man by wondrous signs in the heavens and on the earth. Guard our hearts from despair so that we, in the company of the faithful and by the power of the Holy Spirit, may be found ready to raise our heads at the coming near of our redemption, the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.